Welcome back to the Project Censored Show in the Morning Mix. I'm Mickey Huff with Peter Phillips. We turn our attention now to activities going on in Washington, D.C. We are talking with, on the phone, live at some activities, Sansara Taylor. Sansara is a writer for Revolution Newspaper, a host of WBAI's Equal Time for Free Thought, and sits on the advisory board of World Can't Wait. She has written on the rise of theocracy, wars, and repression in the U.S., led in-building resistance to these crimes, and contributed to the movement for revolution to put an end to all of this. Sansara Taylor, you join us live from Washington, D.C.
I do. Thanks for having me, Mickey. It's good to hear you.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you back on the program. We're really glad we could get you. We know you've been really busy this week, fighting as you do against many forms of oppression, including the patriarchy. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Yes, we're in Washington, D.C. first, just to set the moment. We're on the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which, as you said, is the legalization of abortion in this country. And yet, at no point in the last 40 years has abortion been more stigmatized, more dangerous to provide, or more difficult to access. And so I'm with the StopPatriarchy.org movement, and we're here in Washington, D.C., and actually in San Francisco, too, for a week of action to defend abortion rights and stand up against the war on women. And today in D.C., there is what's called the March for Life. We like to call it the March for Forced Motherhood. It's tens of thousands of religious fundamentalists, forces, Christian fundamentalists, and Catholics who are marching against all forms of abortion in all circumstance, against all forms of birth control, and they need to be opposed. And so we are here with our signs, with a new movement that says abortion on demand without apology, forced motherhood is female enslavement, and this direction has to be fought. So we've been out all week around the city, on the college campuses, and in different ways defending the clinics here. And here we are really to confront and expose this march for what it is. They don't care anything about women. They don't care anything about so-called babies. They really care about forcing women to have children against their will and returning sort of a biblical standard for law and for women in society in this country. And this has gone on unopposed for far too long, and so this is why we're here.
So, Sarah, hi. This is Peter Phillips. Good to have you on.
Hi, Peter.
We've had across the country, and particularly at state level, state legislatures are restricting women's access, cutting down funding for anything having to do with abortions and or birth control. We're seeing a systematized nationwide attack on women's rights. How does the corporate media report this, or do they?
Well, I think it's been very paltry reporting. I mean, I think even your listeners, probably many of them feel, and I think a lot of people feel, that they've heard the story on this. They've heard the comments from Todd Akin about rape, legitimate rape, and if it's a legitimate rape, a woman can't get pregnant. They've heard the comments from Murdoch about pregnancy from rape is a gift from God, and they think, oh, we are hearing this story. But what's not being reported in the mainstream media, and what's also not being understood by people broadly, is that this attack is not only coming from the Republicans. The leading edge of this attack on abortion is coming from the Republicans. And yes, a lot of the restrictions in the last 2 years, record numbers of restrictions have been passed at the state level, mainly by Republican-controlled Congresses. But at every step along the way, this attack has been conciliated to by the Democratic Party. And so a lot of people are under the impression that now that Obama won the election, now that the elections are over, abortion rights are safe, and this could not be further from the truth. One thing that's noteworthy is that even, for instance, Murdoch, who said that pregnancy from rape is a gift from God, he was defeated in the election. But he was replaced by a quote-unquote pro-life, in other words, anti-abortion Democrat. This was not a victory for women. This was a further revelation that the whole framework is perfect to the right, and women's rights are being used and pimped by the Democratic Party, but they're not being protected by the Democratic Party. And this, again, underscores why StopPatriarchy.org is out in the streets building a movement and millions of people to fight for this and say what no politician will say, which is that abortion is perfectly moral. Abortion is not murder. Fetuses are not babies. Women are not incubators. You'll never hear that in the media. You'll hear a lot of conciliation, even from the quote-unquote advocates for abortion rights. And I think this is something that is left you know, we've witnessed it on the ground here across generations of people, at least two or three young generations who have never heard anybody speak about abortion in a positive way. Yesterday, when we were out at Howard University, we met students, including one young woman. We were talking about the right to abortion, how essential it is, how perfectly okay it is, and how it has to be defended and destigmatized. And this young woman looks at me after talking for a few minutes, and she says, you know, I have to ask you a question. I say, okay, go ahead. She says, I think I'm pregnant, and I'm really scared. I don't know anybody to talk to. This is the situation we've stranded millions of young women and millions of rural women in. It is so stigmatized. It's so difficult to access. 97% of counties in this country that are rural do not have an abortion provider. People don't know how dire this situation is for the majority of women across this country. And I don't think this is being properly reported. It's not known about. And then people are not being told that there's another way to fight besides relying on the Democrats, besides relying on what is frankly a bankrupt and dead-end quote-unquote pro-choice movement at this point, the NARALs and the Planned Parenthoods, who are basically subordinate to the Democratic Party, that there's another way to fight this that is actually required.
Sensara Taylor with Revolution Newspaper, also World Can't Wait, StopPatriarchy.org. Sensara Taylor, a couple of years ago, one of the top 25 censored stories was South Dakota taking extreme measures to be the top anti-abortion state. We've looked at this at Project Censored for some time. 87% of U.S. counties have no abortion providers. 92 new laws restricting abortion were passed in 2011 alone. And as you alluded, there's very little coverage of this in the corporate media. There's a lot of framing going on, and certainly the experience, the anecdotal experience you just described, ought to be somewhat startling to people given the history of Roe v. Wade. What's the alternative, Sensara Taylor? You had mentioned that groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood, sort of been defanged, so to speak, or are maybe not able to do as much as they'd like. I'm sure there are different interpretations of that. But Sensara Taylor, what are you calling for, and what alternatives do you see? And what did you tell this young woman?
I want to start by being very concrete. When I talk about Planned Parenthood and NARAL being dead ends at this point, Planned Parenthood, on the 40th anniversary, took the occasion to drop the label pro-choice. They said, this is too divisive. This is a personal issue. Pro-choice was already a major retreat of the bourgeois women's movement away from saying the word abortion because it's becoming increasingly stigmatized, so they backed away from that. No one's for abortion. We're for choice. Well, actually, I'm for the right to abortion. It's a positive thing. Being able to terminate a pregnancy when a woman doesn't want to have a child is a very positive and very liberating thing, and it's not murder, it's not wrong, and we have to talk about that. That's what people haven't heard. So I want to be specific about the need to stop this politics of conciliation to the anti-abortion movement and stop the reliance on voting as the limit of what we can envision. And this is why there does need to be a movement on the streets that's confronting the anti-abortion movement, that is exposing them for what they are. That's why we're here at the March for Life in D.C. today at the Supreme Court. That's why tomorrow in San Francisco, people should join with StopPatriarchy.org out there and go to Justin Furman Plaza at 10 a.m. and rally for abortion rights. And then at noon, join them at the UN Plaza as they confront the Walk for Life out in San Francisco. And then to come, and we're going to be out there in the streets as a vehicle to build resistance to this and to change the terms, to say what no one has heard, publicly change the terms, and mobilize many others to stand up and fight. After this, we're doing International Women's Day protests around the country. But I think what I told this young woman, I said, well, she asked if I would go with her to get the abortion, and I told her I absolutely would if I was in the city, but I don't live in D.C., but I told her that I would speak to her about finding someone who could go with her and help her talk to her friends about it. And mainly what we did is we talked through on the street why I listened to her explain her reasons why she wanted to get an abortion. And I reaffirmed to her, because I don't think she had anybody in her life who would do that, that those are legitimate reasons. She wants to finish college. She doesn't have a partner to raise a child with. She's too young for it. She wants to play soccer. I told her those are all good reasons not to have a child. There's only one good reason to have a child, and that's because you want to. Being pregnant is not a good reason to have a child. So we kind of talked that through. On one level, I think that was a great measure of relief to her, but I am going to be calling her and following through with her. Unfortunately, there's actually, like I said, millions of women like this around the country who need access, who need help, who need support. And actually, there's, one in three women have had an abortion. The more that our message gets out, the more we publicly manifest resistance and plant a different pole, the more the people who already have had abortions, have gone through this, will feel that they can share those stories with the women in their lives and the women around them.
We're almost out of time here. We're talking to Sansara Taylor. You are physically in Washington, D.C., counter-protesting the big life movement march that's happening there. Do you feel endangered at all, or is there you're a minority, apparently, in terms of what's happening on the street today? What's really happening there?
Well, I think, it is true. The anti-abortion movement is motivated at its core by a belief that God has cursed women for causing original sin, that we have to have babies to redeem ourselves. That's sort of at the core of their movement. And anytime you have a fundamentalist movement of any kind, Christian fundamentalist, Islamic fundamentalist, you are going to have people who believe they're on a mission from God and carry out violence with God behind them. So there are very dangerous people in this crowd. The other day there was fanatics when we were at the Supreme Court on the actual anniversary of Roe versus Wade who were very threatening. A lot of the people who come through, though, and I think this will be true as well at the Walk for Life in San Francisco, are high school kids and college kids from Catholic schools who are bussed in. A lot of people who are just learning about this issue and who've never heard a counter to the anti-abortion rhetoric they've heard their whole lives. And so we've actually gotten into, we've been very careful with those who are more threatening, and we are sticking together and watching out for each other. But we're also very much, we want to engage these young people who are here.
Sansara Taylor, I'm afraid we're out of time. Sorry to cut you off. We're out of time for this morning. We look forward to having you back on the program sometime soon and can follow up on some of these issues.
Okay, thanks so much for having me, and I really appreciate it. So it's good to talk to you guys.
Sansara Taylor, stoppatriarchy.org. That's all the time we have for the Morning Mix Project Censored Show today.